Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. You are tuning into the Kevin Zimmerman Show. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, all you got to do is go to artistfirst.com/zimmerman.htm. And now here is your host of the Kevin Zimmerman Show, Kevin Zimmerman.
Hi, and welcome to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Here, you, the listening audience, connects with soldiers and authors, athletes and entrepreneurs, and everyone who has a story. I want to share with you, though, if you are an author and you're seeking publicity, simply log on to www.artistfirst.com. Go to our homepage and follow the link. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, we are extremely blessed and have a wonderful show for you this evening. We have as our featured guest, Miss Pam Rosewell Moore. Listen, if you're not touched tonight, I don't know if you actually will have warm blood running through your veins. You'll be hearing from Pam in just a few minutes. First, I have to share with you that the Artist First Radio Network is proud to announce that we have over 65,000 listeners worldwide. Many are our brave men and women that serve in the United States Armed Forces. To all of you that are serving our great countries or serving to protect and defend for that right that you believe in, we want to thank you so much. It is such a sincere sacrifice that you give, an unyielding sacrifice that you provide, and we often take it for granted as we go through our day-to-day lives and not actually giving a moment's thought sometimes to the tremendous amount of service and sacrifice that you make. I can't express my appreciation and thanks of you enough, but I want to make sure that I say this as I do every week. I want you to always be aware that you will always be loved and supported and appreciated right here on the Kevin Zimmerman Show. Folks, I have to share with you about Ms. Pam Rosewell Moore. She was born near London and became a committed Christian at the age of 21. She served as a short-term missionary volunteer for the Church of the Providence of East Africa from 1996 through 97. In 98, she joined the mission of Brother Andrew, God's smuggler, a Dutchman who actually transported Bibles into Eastern Europe and other communist lands worldwide. In 1976, Pam became the traveling companion and later nurse of the world-famous Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian who was incarcerated in the Nazi prison camp and became known throughout the world for her book and the film, The Hiding Place. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to get out of your way and allow you to hear the voice of Ms. Pam Rosewell Moore. Pam, are you out there right now?
I'm out here. It's lovely to hear your voice, Kevin.
Thank you so much. Pam, if you would, could you please say something to all the brave service members around the world and just share with them from your perspective how much you appreciate the services that they provide for their native countries?
Oh, what a privilege. I want to thank you, dear men and women, for what you have undertaken, for your faithfulness to your calling, for the fact that the Lord is with you. And I just want to thank you on behalf of many, many people who would love to do so, for the courage which you've received to do your work and for your faithfulness. Thank you.
Well, Pam, we're going to get into the interview a little bit, but I got to share with you, I am so honored and privileged to have you on this show. You know, you have some people out there, Pam, that when they speak highly of you, others whom they're talking to get a little bit nervous. You know that, right?
Well, I hadn't thought of that, actually.
No, but it is such a wonderful, wonderful honor and a blessing to have someone who loves the Lord the way that you do, and someone that loves God so much that they sacrifice the way that you do. I want to share with you something that someone near and dear to you wrote me, and this is what they said. They said this: a surrender of the believer unto Christ and what happened in her life when she gave up all her right to the Lord. She lives like that every day. That is power. That is absolutely power. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have an idea of who that was that gave you that?
Well, it might be somebody who you and I both know.
Absolutely. But if you would, Pam, your walk with Christ, we have about 5 minutes before we go on our first break. In order for the listener to be able to connect and identify with you, tell us about your walk with Christ. What was it that made you give your life to Christ and then live before him in a way that your Christian walk alone, not anything that you wrote or anything that you said, but your Christian life, your lifestyle alone would reflect upon the world so much that someone would say something so powerful about you. Share your life with us a little bit about how you came about serving the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Let me just very quickly say that your voice is not very clear to me. I hope that mine is clear. And thank you so much for the question. I was a rebellious follower of the Lord Jesus. Of course, there's no such thing as a rebellious follower. But I received Christ as a small child, and the Holy Spirit never let me go, although I wanted to have my own way in life. I said, I have rights, and I won't submit to what God might want of me. And the most horrible thing I could think of was being a missionary, because I was very shy, was very connected to a very close family, didn't want to leave my home country of England. But there came the day when, well, I hope it doesn't sound pious, but my heart really wanted God, although I wasn't following him. But it was as if he revealed himself to me, Kevin, as a young people's mission of our church. And I saw for the first time through the words of the speaker, he said 22 words, when Jesus Christ died for you, it was as if all the trash cans in the world were being emptied on his head. And it was as if I saw how terribly dark sin is, how it placed a terrible barrier between us and the sinless, loving God who dwells in light unapproachable. And I knew I couldn't be sitting on the fence any longer. It had to be all or nothing. Mm. And that night in the dark, on my own, I made a prayer that went something like this. I prayed, Father, thank you for revealing to me tonight something of your love for me. And thank you for not leaving me, although I've not gone your way. I've followed my own will. And I want to now give you all my life. I didn't really know, of course, what I was saying, but my honest prayer was, Father, I do want to renounce my old way of life. I want to be yours completely. I want to surrender it to you, Lord. I won't go my own way. I'll follow you. If you'll make that way plain, I want to follow you. Whatever it costs, leaving my country, becoming a public speaker, which I thought Christians probably had to do if they're in full service to the Lord. Of course, that was only if I was called to a mission field or something. But I very much wanted marriage, but I knew that had to be given over to the Lord entirely. If he wanted me single, that was what I was going to be. And so I gave to the Lord my right to my own way, and by his grace, he's helped me to follow him.
Wow. Wow, that is wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful testimony, Pam. And I want to share with you that I do hear you loud and clear, and they hear you loud and clear, most
That's
importantly.
Good.
Thank
I'm
you
glad.
So much.
And you're clearer now.
Okay, great. Well, listen here. We're going to hear from you a whole lot more tonight. We're going to go on a short break for about 60 seconds here or so. But before we go on break, Pam, is there a website that you have that people can go to find out your information?
Yes, there is, Kevin. It's www.pamrosewellmore.org.
Okay, so that's www.pamrosewellmore.org. That's www.pam, P-A-M, Rosewell, R-O-S-E-W-E-L-L, more, O-M-O-O-R-E.org. www.pamrosewellmore.org. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to take the time, go to Pam's site, check out her information, but don't stay away for too long because we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Back to the show with your host, Kevin Zimmerman.
Hi, and welcome back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Folks, we are here tonight with the wonderful Miss Pam Rosewell Moore. Now, Pam, you had a blessed experience in your life, and understand, and I'll let you get into a little bit more of the testimony about the time you spent with her. But you actually took care of the world famous Miss Corrie Ten Boom. Is that correct?
That is right, Kevin. Would you like me to sort of tell the story, and you interrupt me if I'm going on too long or too saying too much?
Listen, you got carte blanche. Pam, this is your show, and me and the listening audience is ready to hear this.
All right. Well, those of us who follow the Lord know that, looking back, a pattern emerges, doesn't it, in our minds as we see how God has led our lives and is leading it. And he led my way in that. To working with the Dutch people. I'd worked in the Netherlands for 7 years when Corrie ten Boom asked if I would become her travel assistant.
Wow.
And Corrie was a lady who was most beloved by many Americans. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place, which later became a movie. But I think the special thing about her is that she was a gift from God for our time. God has given gifts all through the centuries, hasn't he, of people who were mightily used to reach the world And we're very encouraging, loving people, and very strong-minded and sure of their mission. And Corrie was that kind of woman. She was, on the 15th of April, this last month, it marked the 30th anniversary of her going to be with the Lord, the 30th. She died in 1983. When I went to have an interview with her, she'd asked me if I would come and talk to her about becoming her travel assistant, because her helper at that time was about to be married, and she'd been with her for 9 years. So I didn't think that I was the type to be a travel companion. I'd led a rather independent life, but such was my respect for her and her work that I knew I had to go for the interview. And I want just to describe to you what she looked like as I was in her house, and I'd met her before, but this was a very important conversation that was about to take place. She was about my height, 5'7". She looked strong. She had blue eyes, which were very discerning. You might say, well, what does that mean, discerning? Well, she had a gift, I think, of perception. She could, it was something that God had given her. And she had grey-white hair in a roll around her head, a rather old-fashioned kind of style. And she asked me if I would come to be with her. And to help her. She'd traveled already through 33 years to about 66 countries, I believe she said. So I didn't see myself as being able to help her very much. I was, at that time, a much more introverted person than I am now. She was an extrovert. She was the type of person who lit up the room. She didn't try to do it. She was just powerful in her personality. And she was so given over to the Lord. She loved him so much and was prepared to spend her life telling a story which must have been very painful to tell and would certainly have been without the help of the Holy Spirit every moment of the day. Because in the Second World War, she, in the Netherlands, saved the lives of Jewish people who were being persecuted by the Germans. Of course, there are different people this day, but in those days, Jewish people were greatly being persecuted. Mm-hmm. And Corrie helped save lives, along with her father and her sister, Betsy. They had a hiding place in their very small home in the Netherlands, and they led them through that to safe houses. And the family was finally arrested. They were betrayed by a Dutchman and arrested and sent to prison first, then concentration camp. Father and Betsy died, and Corrie was in what she called the deepest hell that man can create, Ravensbrück. Mm. But she emerged with from a terrible experience, with an even deeper love of God. Her beloved sister Betsy died of starvation at Christmas 1944. And once the ladies in the camp were talking, and Corrie said to her beloved Betsy, "Why have we come to this terrible place? They are out under the stars near the barbed wire fences." And Betsy, who was something of a saint, said, "Corrie, we don't know. We must accept sometimes that which we cannot understand. But we must remember that somehow in the plan of God, over the blueprint of our life, was written the word Ravensbrück." So the sovereignty of God was the message of Corrie ten Boom. The fact that God is in control of everything, but with a very loving hand. And her particular message, she could say from the Bible, "My times are in his hand, even the difficult ones." So, Kevin, I saw her and I was with her as she gave that message all over the United States and partly in Europe. But before that, before she got old, she was 85 when she and I worked together, and she lived for until 1983.
My, as you found yourself in that position, Pam, where you shared with us, you were introverted, you were, and she was very much extroverted, but then you found God using you to look out after her. What transformation happened with you where you just finally threw up your hands and surrendered and said, "God, if this is what you want me to do, then I'm going to do it.
Yes. I must say it was often very difficult, Kevin. You know, people often say to me that must have been a wonderful experience. And I guess, of course, it was. But extroverted people have so much more energy. You don't sound like an introverted person, Kevin. I know you're not. I read your website. But people like who are introverted find it, you know, they get tired when a lot of people are around them. They want to be alone. But Corrie was never alone because she was, the more the merrier, the happier she was. And she gained a lot of energy from having a lot of people, while the reverse was true of me. So it was sometimes really hard. And Rosa didn't always agree with her. She wasn't always right. She is very strong-minded, and she was full of the spirit and remarkably used. But, you know, you couldn't let her get away with everything. And I think a certain respect grew. We certainly had great respect and love for each other. And I'm honored that I could be her servant, because that was what I was. I was her servant, failing a lot.
You know, what I love about everything that you're saying, and thank you so much for sharing your life's testimony with us, but what I'm loving so much, Pam, about what you're saying is the side that is real. You know, when we are real Christians, we love God. Every day isn't always Sunday. We're not always happy. We're not always smiling. And still, he uses us in a very special way and in our own unique way. And I love the fact that you're sharing that real side of you, where you said, yeah, you know, she was full of life, full of energy, but I'm an introvert, so I would get more uptight.
Yeah. Well, I think people can identify with our weaknesses, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, listen, when we come back, we'll go on another short break here, but you also have some work out there that you've done, because for introverted lady, you've done a lot of work, Pam. You wrote some excellent books. You've done some speaking engagements. And we're interested really in hearing about some of that as well. But before we go, Pam, please tell the listening audience what your website is once again, so they can take a few moments to go to your site and check out your information.
All right. You want me to say about it? It's www.pamrosewellmore.org. That's PamRosewellmore.org. It'll be replaced very soon by a new one, but it starts with a little video of me looking very shy and giving a message, and I'd certainly welcome you to visit that.
You know, before we go on break, I got to tell you something that's happening to you behind the scenes. When you talk, Pam, I hear that accent, and I'm telling you, I am smiling from ear to ear because my wonderful fiance, Marianne Vecchio, she and I are getting married on the 31st of August. It's so funny. She's born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and she's living here in San Antonio, Texas. So every time she opens her mouth, Pam, you can imagine what they hear.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. And listen, I've always said divine favor isn't fair, because how such a beautiful woman like her wants to marry this guy is well beyond me, but I'm thankful and I'm not giving her back. That's all I can tell you. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're going to go take a quick break one more time. But when we go on break, go to www.pamrosewellmore.org. And don't stay away too long, though, because we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Pamela S. Thibodeau, CEO of the Wordsmith Journal Magazine. We're proud to sponsor the Kevin Zimmerman Show on Artists First Radio. The Wordsmith Journal Magazine's goal is to connect readers with authors of Christian, clean, sweet, cozy, and wholesome, and inspirational fiction and nonfiction. The Wordsmith Journal Magazine is the premier magazine for lovers of the written word. Visit us online at thewordsmithjournalmagazine.com.
And now back to the show with your host, Kevin Zimmerman.
Hi, and welcome back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Hey, you guys are having fun and enjoying the wonderful Miss Pam Rosewell Moore. Pam has shared with us about who she is. She shared with us about her time and experience with the wonderful Miss Corey Ten Boom and taking care of her. Pam let us inside of her life and let us all know that loving God doesn't always mean that you're the ray of sunshine that walks around the world. But most importantly, we're enjoying this accent. I know I am. I believe you guys are too. But listen, she's done some wonderful work herself. So what we're going to do at this time is allow Pam, Pam, you got about 15 minutes here. Share with us the work that you've done, the books that you got out there, the speaking engagements, anything that the listening audience can find out about what you've done and what you're doing. We're interested in knowing about that.
Well, thank you so much. And I trust you to intervene when I'm going over time on anything. I've had the privilege of writing 5 books, and the first one was really to answer a question. You know, when you write a book, you have to have a theme to a book. Mm-hmm. My theme was, when a person cannot achieve in the normal way, where does their value come from? The 5 silent years of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom underwent a very serious stroke, which took very remarkable communicative powers. The power of speech, really. She couldn't really communicate, not in the way you and I use speech. Mm-hmm. She lost the ability through successive strokes to be able to even to get out of bed. And before the stroke, she had come to my room, her face glowing. Well, what do I mean by her face glowing? Her eyes were full of questions, but they showed me that she'd been with the Lord. And she said that God had told, she asked God if he would show her his glory. And she and I talked about that. So when I found her in her room, and I didn't really understand what had happened to her until later in the hospital, but I thought this, she must be going to heaven now. God is showing her his glory by taking her to heaven. But in fact, she was to go through 5 years of increasing weakness, which for somebody of her communicative gifts must have been very, very hard. So I write in that book, I'm thinking of people who are not able physically to do that which they would love to do. Where does their value come from? What about the value to society of those who can no longer speak or are too old and too weak to work? Because our society is asking that kind of question more and more. But her value came from her deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God valued her life. God valued it tremendously. He looked after her during those difficult years. If ever I saw God at work, it was him sustaining Corrie ten Boom. But I wrote for a purpose, Kevin, that we will see human life as so tremendously important, and I know that your audience knows that. The second book was Safer Than a Known Way. There's a poem which says, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he said, step out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. And my testimony expresses how the Lord helped me put my hand in his weak hand. and some of the things I've been telling you, the adventures which ensued and the relationship with the Lord which ensued, is explained in that book. And my books can mainly be obtained from my website. Not all of them are in print now, but I have them all in print at home. Then there came a book which my husband and I wrote together. In fact, he wrote more than I did. It's called What Happens When Husbands and Wives Pray Together. Now, I know that many of our audience at this time cannot be with their husband or their wife, but in this we wrote down some of the principles we learned in praying together. And, you know, it's a discipline, isn't it? It's a joy and a privilege, but prayer is also a discipline. And Terry and I, sometimes, we sometimes forget, and we've written a book about it. So that was the third book, What Happens When Husbands and Wives Pray Together. And then came a book I never expected to write. I was, the Lord gave me my husband when I was 42 years old. And I loved him at first sight. I never thought that could happen. I thought I'd have to know someone for years before I married them.
Well, now I got to jump in. And what is his name?
His name is Carey, Carey.
Carey, now is Carey listening? Is he able to hear this?
No, he's actually working on a piece of writing in the office.
I think our friend, perhaps
I'll be able to get a recorded, you know, pick it up somewhere on the internet so that he can hear it, I hope so.
He'll be able to hear it because it's going to be available, because I just wanted to give Carey a huge shout out, because you are a remarkable woman, and I heard you say it out of your own mouth, and they heard you too. It was love at first sight. So I'm sitting up here, I got both hands raised up for Carey right now.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to get out of the way and let you finish.
Well, it was the plan of God that I should not marry till I was 42. We'd been married about 8 years when Carey discovered a strange feeling, not in his clavicle, the collarbone, you know, in him. He's very slender. He weighed 159 pounds when he went into the Air Force at the age of 28, and he still weighs 159 pounds. But he could feel there was a lump there, and so he had tests, and it was diagnosed as a malignancy, but one which would be hard to treat because they didn't know the type. They didn't know the origin or the type. And I found myself, as he went through the chemotherapy, I'm telling you this decades later. I mean, well, a long time later. He's well. My husband is well. He's very strong and always working. He's a true American, very high work ethic. But I collapsed. I can't tell you why. It wasn't that I wasn't trusting God. It was as if my brain wasn't working properly, and I was overcome with tremendous sadness. I couldn't stop weeping. And I knew I had to go to the doctor and see it, because I had to admit that I'd read these symptoms, and they pointed to depression. But I, unfortunately, and I regret this deeply, I thought that it couldn't happen to a Christian. I thought, it must be a question of surrender. If a person's depressed, they're not surrendered. Well, what a terrible thing. So I was terribly wrong, and so I wrote the book about how it happened to me, how the Lord helped me and healed me in my case. And I have to say, I know I don't need to say it, but there are some of us who are helped immediately by a medication, which I was so reluctant to take, but did take, and it did help me. But all through these years, Kevin, I've had to take it. And I hope that isn't a stumbling block to anybody else, but I would think it would be wonderful if I didn't have to take it. But I do. And I just want to encourage anybody who feels the symptoms of depression. You know, some can even be suicidal. I never was that. I had a passive kind of thinking, well, I'm longing to go to heaven. You know, there wasn't anything active there. But it wasn't healthy. That's not a healthy attitude. And I didn't want to have any fun. You know, it was a terribly difficult time. So I'm not saying you don't need to be on medicine for the rest of your life. You might not even need it. You might just need some good cognitive therapy. But don't be alone with it. Share. Talk about it. So that's this book, Finding Your Way Through Depression. And let me see. Oh, and the one last, which has just come out as an e-book, is called Life Lessons from the Hiding Place, Discovering the Heart of Corrie ten Boom. And I sat in an attic room, a very big one, with piles and piles of paper going back all over the decades, from 1890s up until the time of her death in the 1980s, giving lots of background to her. What made her the woman she was? What was her background? What is the Dutch theology? Where did she come to know the Lord? How was she? I just wanted it really to be a book that people could learn more about her. But I've learned that people have even come to the Lord through it. So, you know, I hadn't really expected that. Don't know why. But I'm glad. So thank you so much for letting me talk about that. And I've blathered on for a very long time. So I'll give the microphone back to you.
Now, where you did mention, though, that the listening audience can go to your website, which is www.pamrosewellmore.org, to get the book. Is there any place else that they possibly can get it? I think you said somewhere on the website. So that just leads me to believe, unless I heard incorrectly, that they can go somewhere else possibly and get some books as well. Am I on track here?
Well, if they want to get it from me, they can go to the website and I can send it to them. But, you know, Amazon knows everything and has about every book, so you can get used copies. But from my website, you could at least get the titles more clearly. And if you wanted to order one, you could do whatever's easiest for you. If you'd like me to sign it, I'll send it to you. But if you know, you could perhaps get them cheaper on Amazon.
Well, no, I'm encouraging you. Anyone that desires this book to bypass Amazon and go to www.pamrosewellmore.org. I'm going to encourage them to do that. Now, when I ask them, I can at least ask them without getting in trouble, right?
I think you're great. I hope I can meet you one day.
Oh, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And that, if it is the Lord's will, that is going to happen at some point, because my daughter and her family lives in Dallas. And we often travel from San Antonio. As you know, we got to go through Waxahachie.
Oh, great.
And I got your phone number now.
So yeah.
I'll call you and Carrie and say, hey, listen, I just want to, Carrie, shake your hand and hug Pam's neck, and I won't even take you guys time being long. But it would be such a blessing, I think, if I had an opportunity to see you face-to-face. And I would love to do that, just to say thank you for coming on to the Kevin Simmerman Show and blessing our listening audience.
It would be such a joy.
It would be. Well, listen, we got another break that we need to go on here, Pam. So, again, tell that listening audience, what is your website where we want them to kind of bypass Amazon and go to your site to order the book? What site is that again?
That is www.pamrosewellmore.org. www.pamrosewellmore.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it. You've been listening to Miss Pam Rosewell Moore right here on The Kevin Simmerman Show. Hey, go to her website. That's www.pamrosewellmore.org. But don't stay away too long, because we're going to come back and Pam is going to give us her final comments and her last words and anything that she wants to share with us before we close out this evening. So please go to her website and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
You turn my morning into dancing, filled my heart with joy, awakened my soul. Now I don't hurt anymore. You turn my morning into dancing, fill my heart with joy, awaken my soul.
Now back to the Kevin Zimmerman Show on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, and welcome back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Folks, we have been blessed with the Miss Wonderful Pam Rosewell Moore. We have had a great show this evening. For some of you that may have logged on a little bit later on, God used Pam to take care of the world-renowned Miss Corrie Ten Boom. Of course, Corrie Ten Boom was the one that was responsible for both the movie and the book, The Hiding Place. And of course, believers all over the world in countries and cultures and various denominations loved Miss Corrie Ten Boom. And guess what? God used Miss Pam Rosewell Moore to take care of her. And Pam shared that experience with us tonight. But what I'm going to do here, we have a few moments left. I'll give her the floor for for about 10 more minutes and allow Pam to say whatever God placed on her heart to give us her final comments. Hello, Pam?
Yes. Yes,
You got about 10 minutes here to share with us anything that you want to share in your final comments. If there's anything you want to say, you can, or thank anybody, you can. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Kevin, I want to thank you for a wonderful interview. I do so appreciate your ministry, which I'm just beginning to learn about. Thank you for the love with which you treat your guests and all those who are listening. I'm sure that many tune in. I hope many more will too. The things that concern me, as they probably do you, that the spirit of this age is, it's all about me. It's all about me. And even when we are Christians, I think we've got to watch this very carefully. Because it isn't it's really all about him. But we have an enemy. Mm-hmm. There's Satan who walks about and who wants to trip us up, those of us who trust God. And he's the father of lies. The spirit of of self, of me being the center of the universe. We need to pray against that. And I say that to myself, that I must be much more definite in my prayers against that spirit. I want to see the Lord's power more at work in me, that I'll believe him for things that are miracles or very unexpected things that aren't normally likely to happen. I want to remember that paradox that we are never, until we give up our right to our own way, which would seem like bondage, until we give that up, we're never truly free. And we can't imagine how it is. We have to be there and see that when we've given everything to him in trust, to a good and loving God, that it's perfectly safe to do that. And I want that to be my message always. I'm getting older now. I'm not old, but I don't have the energy that I used to have. So I want to use time very wisely. I'm not going to say that my life is short. I hope it's not. But the Lord Jesus told us the time is short. It is short. We need to be realizing he could come tomorrow. He really could. We don't know when he's coming, but we don't know one moment when he could not come. And I think that is one way to live expectantly in the presence of God, to remember that he's going to keep that promise. The Lord Jesus is going to come again. There's no doubt about that. So we must be ready, and we must be aware. And I'm preaching to myself here, Kevin.
No, I don't think you're preaching to yourself at all. And I'm actually grateful that you have shared that with us, because we have become a more selfish society. We absolutely have. It has been shown that it's all about me, myself, and I. We have witnessed the morality of our society, and worldwide, it doesn't matter where you are, because I've had the benefit and the privilege and been blessed to go to various countries and various nations, and you witness it there and you witness it here, where no one seems anymore, well, you see it more and more, where they're concerned or have respect for someone else. So no, you're not, by far, you're not preaching to yourself. You said a very much needed message that needed to be reiterated, because you even blessed me and had me looking within my own self as you spoke, and that I'm grateful for, because we can never get too old to do a self-analysis.
Yeah. And don't you think it's true that we actually very rarely hear sermons or people talking about the Lord coming back? And yet,
yes.
He is coming. He's promised. And I just think that was one of the secrets of the life of Corrie ten Boom. And I can tell you it was a very fruitful life. And she was, as she appeared to be, she was a genuine Christian. There was nothing about her that was in any way false. And she would look up to the heavens. She would have a way of praying with her hands stretched out as she perhaps sat in her backyard and sitting and holding her hands up as if she's expecting God to place the answer. And she'd also be watching the clouds. She'd say, he's going to come on a cloud like that. And I think we should be watching the clouds and asking that question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Pam, thank you so much for blessing us this evening on the Kevin Zimmerman Show. We are so, so very grateful that you took time out of your schedule to be able to share with us, enlighten us, entertain us and to speak words of wisdom to us. We're most grateful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to share with you, don't forget all about the A Time for Some Cool Beans coffee campaign that I have going here for our service members. If you can recall from previous shows, this is a means by which we can supply the deployed service members around the world with a unique blend of coffee specially made by Cool Beans Coffee, a local coffee shop right here in San Antonio. They took an entire year to find a blend specifically for our deployed service members worldwide. In addition to that, to the coffee, that coffee will be accompanied by my book, A Time for Everything, the Kevin Zimmerman Story. If you just want a copy of the book, you can go to my website. That's www.atfekc.com or anywhere books are sold, you can purchase it. But if you want to support the A Time for Some Cool Beans Coffee campaign, you can also go to that website, www.atfekc.com, and then click Contact Kevin and send me an email stating that you want to support the campaign. It takes $10 to do that. $10 will get the unique jar of coffee specifically made for our deployed service members, a free autographed copy of my book, and of course, the relevance of my book is back in June of 2012. It became a part of U.S. military history by being accepted into the archives of the United States Army's Medical Department Museum right here on Port San Houston, Texas. And then got blessed even more in January of this year where the book became a permanent part of American history by being accepted into both the archives and the library of the Smithsonian Institute's National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. So supporting the A Time for Some Cool Beans Coffee campaign gives our deployed service members a free jar of coffee uniquely made for them, a piece of military and American history, and we have tons of letters that were written by grade school children here in San Antonio, Texas, that will accompany that care package. So simply send me an email saying, hey, I want to support the A Time for Some Cool Beans Coffee campaign. It takes $10 to get that care package. Or you can go to Cool Beans Pika Pika on Facebook and contact them. Either way, you can contact Cool Beans directly at Cool Beans Pika Pika on Facebook, or you can email me at www.atfekc.com and select Contact Kevin. The last thing I want to leave you with is something that just came into my spirit, and the wonderful Miss Pam Rosewell Moore was speaking about how selfish we've come and we're thinking more about ourselves. So the last thing I want to leave you with is this. It's so simple, and we all know it, and we find it in the book of John, chapter 3, and verse 16, where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave. Let's take a few moments to do some introspection here. Look at ourselves and ask ourselves, instead of concerning myself with just me, what can I do to bless somebody else? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for spending your evening with me this evening. I look forward to talking to you, having a great show again next week. You have a great night, and God bless. Take care.